Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. We'll see how things are going, but I think we'll have one more week in Matthew. We've covered most of Matthew chapter 27 last week. We're going to pick up today in the later part. Starting in verse 57, but kind of backing up just a touch to make sure that we're kind of all on page with it. We talked about last week about Jesus, and he was taken by the guards. They had the Jewish leaders had made a deal with Judas. He went and he betrayed Jesus. They came and got him. Judas betrayed him with the kiss, and they took Jesus and they bound him, and they took him before Pilate, and they chose to have Barabbas released rather than Jesus. He was taken out, and he was beaten. He was left. They denied him. He was crucified on the cross, and we're going to pick it up after that today. So starting in verse 57, we'll read a little bit. We'll read to the end of the chapter here, and then we're going to go into chapter 28 today a little ways. But we'll start in verse 57 of chapter 27. It says, And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now, on the next day, which is the one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive," talking about Jesus, "that deceiver," they called him, "said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again. Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first.' Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard, go, make as secure as you know how.' And they went away and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone." You know, this is Jesus, a person who did not commit any violent crimes. He didn't... He was not a murderer. He was not a thief. He was not a burglar. He was not he didn't break laws. They came and they fabricated stories and they lied about things that he had done, and false witnesses testified against him at his trial before the high priest, and they crucified him, and they're still scared to death that Jesus was going to wreck what they had going. We're going to kind of bounce a little bit, just a little bit today, back into Ezekiel, and only for one small point. But when we think about the Old Testament and all the prophecy that was in the Old Testament for Jesus coming, and we think about the high priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and them, they would have known to be looking out for the Messiah. Now, I've thought about this a lot in my life, and why they didn't see that it was Jesus, and why they didn't believe that he was the Messiah, because everything that happened to Jesus was prophesied about, and it was proven over and over and over again. But see, I was thinking this morning that maybe, just maybe, they did know that it was Jesus. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests of the time, they were in charge of the Jewish customs and things that happened with the Jewish religion. They were the leaders in Judaism. Now, we've witnessed different things in our lifetimes with governments or with businesses or things like that of that nature, where when somebody comes in to try and change things up a little bit, the people who are in charge do not like that. I've noticed in sports, the new kid who comes in out of town, starts playing baseball, that's good, he might take one of the positions. The kids who are already on the team don't really like that a lot of times. The parents of the kids who are on the team don't like that a lot of times, because that means that kid might, their child might not play because this newcomer is coming along and he's better and he works harder. Same thing with the job, the person who's a manager but not the boss, and a new guy is hired and is working really hard and does a lot of things and there's promotions coming up. He might not like that guy because he is what stands in the way, the new guy is who stands in the way of this manager getting promoted to whatever is next. It happens in business, it happens in sports, it happens in all things in life, and it happens in governments, and it happens in congregations, and it happens in religions. When people start going against the system, or going against what people have set forth for a belief system, people don't like it. It's the same way in times in the past during in the true church even. That's something that we have to guard against. We're a small group now, but in 10, 15, 20 years from now, when there's 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever, how many people are here, and I pray that we continue to grow this congregation, because that means there's more people going to be in heaven. But the thing about it is, we have to make sure that when we get to that point, we allow the Rylands of the congregation, or the Sawyers, or the Shanes, or the new kids that are coming up, or the new Christian from that's not a part of not from around here, that moves in and starts helping out in the church. We have to make sure that we don't stop them from fulfilling their role and moving past further and doing greater things than we've done. But that's kind of a side note. But I was thinking about the Pharisees this morning, and I was thinking about the chief priests, and maybe they knew that that's who Jesus was. But if we go and we read back through the Old Testament, there was something else that was prophesied right alongside of Jesus coming, and that was the end of Judaism. That was the end of the first covenant. It demolished it. It got rid of it. Now, you're not going to tell me that there's some people who didn't have a problem with that. I think that there was people who had a problem with something changing. I was thinking there was people who had a problem with them losing their place in authority. Now, those people were against the truth, and they may have recognized that Jesus was coming. They maybe even knew that it was Jesus. You can't tell me that after this stuff happened, at the end of chapter 27 there, and in the verses, 50 and on, and 47 and on, with the people rising from the graves, and the temple veil torn, and the darkness fell across the land, and all the stuff that happened. You can't tell me that them Jews didn't think this was probably the Christ. We read last week, and we looked at that, and in verse 54 of chapter 27, it says, "Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" If the centurion could figure it out, then I'm going to guarantee you right now that some of the Jews could figure it out. And they knew that it was him. And you go through, and we read now in the end of chapter 27, and they were worried about him raising from the dead. They didn't. Nobody was going to go steal the body. That wasn't going to further anything. They were still scared of Jesus, even though he was already dead. They were scared because they knew stuff happened afterwards that they couldn't explain. And I guarantee you that they knew what they had just done, and they were trying to hide it now. So they put guards at the grave, and they sealed it. But that wasn't going to stop. Jesus from rising again. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to draw dawn, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like a light, was like lightning, and his garment was white as snow. And the guards shook for their fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. But he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me.' Now, while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while you were asleep. And if this should come up to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful." Okay. An angel comes. The guards become like dead men. The guards passed out for fear. That's what happened. They fainted is what happened. They fell over. They were scared is how I envision that when I read that. The angel came. He broke the seal. He rolled away the grave. Jesus rose from the dead. And he tells the women that this is what happened. Well, the guards go back to the chief priest, the very people who had Jesus killed, who should have known that this was Jesus, who knew the prophecies, and everything fit together, and they told them what happened, and they still tried to cover it up. You cannot tell me that right now these men didn't know what they had done. But they still tried to cover it up, because that meant that they still had power. If they could cover it up, they still had the power. If they couldn't cover it up and everything went away, they were going to lose the power. And eventually, they did lose that power. If you go into to Ezekiel, and all through Ezekiel, and through many of the other prophets as well, he continually says to the God continually says to Ezekiel, you know, speak against Israel, set your face against them. Prophesy against them, for the time is coming. They are going to be departed. They were going to be destroyed. Let's actually just jump back there. Let's go to verse Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord,' God says. Listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Behold, I am myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places." You go over to chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, the end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring all your abominations upon you.'" All the way through Ezekiel, it goes over and over and over again. Jesus, or the Lord says to Ezekiel, set your face against Israel and tell them what is happening. The end is coming. We will bring it to you, and you will be destroyed to all the four corners. You will be destroyed in verse 2, the end is coming, of chapter 7, the end is coming on the four corners of the land. And when Jesus came, that was the end of Judaism. You see, Ezekiel was talking about twofold things. He was talking about them being conquered. That happened in the Old Testament. We can read about that. But he was speaking in prophecy about what was going to happen when Jesus came. And when Jesus came and Jesus preached, and he used the same term, and he said, the Son of Man is going to come in power, and the Son of Man, you will see him coming in his glory. And they knew exactly who he was talking about, and they knew exactly what was going to happen, and they knew exactly that what was prophesied about in Ezekiel was an end to the Jewish religion, and Jesus coming was an end to their power. And it was an end to their leadership. And they fought against it, because they wanted their leadership on this earth more than they wanted to fulfill the will of God. In fact, they ended up fulfilling the will of God by being evil. And that's what they did. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 12, and when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. And then they told them the lie. You know, we live in a religious climate today that, and it's not just a religious thing. It has been the cause of lots and lots of wars in the history, especially recent history, in the last 100 years. There's a belief that we have to go back to Judaism, that we have to rebuild the temple on earth, and we have to go back to Jerusalem, and that is going to be a great coming, and the Lord will come down after that's all done, and it's all going to be finished and built exactly how it's supposed to be, and the Lord will come back, and the Jews are still God's people and all this stuff. No, they are not. The people who killed Jesus knew that who they were killing. I have no doubt that the chief priests at this time knew exactly who Jesus was. But they were trying to go against him. Still trying to go against him. There was going to be an end to Judaism. It happened when Jesus came, and then Jesus destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and destroyed all records in AD 70 when he used the Romans to destroy it. Jesus was a man who lived a perfect life. There was nothing to be said against Jesus. They were against him because he threatened their way of life. He threatened the power in which they held. And he threatened the status quo. Now, they hated him for that. As Christians, if we're doing something right, they're going to hate us for it too. If we live the life we're supposed to live, and we be the people we're supposed to be, and we talk about the things of Christ, and we talk about Jesus, and we tell people about Jesus, and we spread his gospel, and we spread the good news of the kingdom, and we spread the good news that there's hope in Christ for all of mankind if they choose to go for it, the world will be against us, and people just like these guys are going to set lies, they're going to pay people off, and they're going to come against you. And it might be your friends, it might be your family, it might not be your neighbors, it might be people you don't know. But they're going to come against you. Jesus died so that we could live a life that is free. He died so that we could be with him forever. He died so that we could be dead to our sins, so that we could be freed from our sins. We read last week some, and we might jump there again in a minute, to Romans chapter 6. And the victory chapter, I like to call it in a lot of ways, it talks basically primarily about being freed from sin. And the reason we are freed from sin is because we have died with Christ through immersion. Christ died. Christ needed to be crucified. He needed to be buried. He needed to conquer death. He needed to ascend, and he needed to get to his throne. All of that has happened for us to be able to live for him to be able to work for him, and to be able to withstand this life, because it's not easy. Christ came down to live this life so that he could be the example for us. And Christ would never ask us to do something that he hasn't already done. Christ came and died, and he suffered, and he lived this life, and he had people against him, and he suffered alone, and he took our sins, and he died on the cross, but he conquered death. I am so thankful that Jesus is not on the cross anymore, but I'm also thankful Jesus isn't in the grave anymore, and I'm thankful that Jesus isn't on earth anymore. I'm thankful that Jesus is on the throne. You know, I kind of got off topic of some of the stuff I was going to talk about today, so this might not seem like it's kind of with it. But Jesus' death, and I mentioned a little bit last week that it was for us. Jesus didn't die so that we could stay the same. Jesus died so that we would change. Jesus died so that we could be somebody different. And us going through, and we, if you go, and I encourage you to go read about Ezekiel and the things that he had to go through in life, and the things that God called him to do, and I'm just really, really glad and really thankful that God didn't ask me to be Ezekiel. There's some things that man had to do, and maybe God calls me to do some of those same things later on in my life. And I pray that when that time comes that I will be as faithful as Ezekiel was. But God has a purpose for us. God has put us in this time, in this world, in this time that we don't really know what's going on around the world, that there's a lot of uncertainty in this world. God has created you to live in this time. And he's created you to be his people in this time to further his kingdom, to teach his truth, and to go to all the world so that they might know Christ. Now, we're going to talk about the Great Commission next week. But kind of before we are able to go and teach others about Christ or to be effective in that, we have to be right ourselves. First you have to hear, first you have to believe, first you have to become a Christian. And then after you've become a Christian, you have to understand who you are. You have to understand that because Christ died, because he took away your sins, because he conquered death, you also have that. We'll just go over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, and well, let's just start in verse 1. It just says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know, all of you who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through immersion into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Jesus died, he left heaven, he came to earth, became the physical man, he lived a physical life, he died a physical death, he was buried into a physical grave, he conquered that, and he lived again, and he raised up and became that newness of life. He was no longer the physical anymore. He is now the spiritual again. He is the ascended Father who is on the throne. And just like he did, we also died to our old self, was buried in immersion, came out of the grave, a new person, freed from sin. And that is something that we talk a lot about, but it's something that we have to each take a look at ourselves and make sure that we have actually let go of our old self. You see, for a lot of years, people would look at me and talk to me, and they would see me for who I was, but I would look at myself, and I would think I would still be holding on to that old self. And I think all of us have been there at times, where we've been dragging along that dead body along with us, because it's comfort to know, maybe, in some ways, that you know, we don't have to have a standard of living, but it's also something that's pulling us down. When you're trying to swim to the top and you're pulling on to a log, you're not going to make it to the top very good. But if you are freed from that log, you're going to make it to the top. Now, I probably wouldn't because I sink. But you know what I'm saying? We have to let go of that old person. We have to know that we have died to sin, that we have died to that old person, and we are a new creation, and we are a new creature, and we walk in a newness of life. And if we don't understand that, and we don't actually truly believe it in ourselves, and we don't actually make the effort to be that person, then we're not going to be. You see, I can look across this room, and I can look at any one of you in here, and I could say, what I see in this man is a Christian man who is serving God, who is spreading the word, who is living a righteous life, who is raising his family right, or doing whatever. But that man could be looking at himself and thinking, I'm kind of failing a little bit. But I'm going to tell you right now, Christ looks at you, if you are a Christian, if you have been buried with him through immersion, Christ looks at you as a new creation. He sees no sin. Christ doesn't just forgive the sin, he forgets the sin, gets rid of the sin, wipes it completely away so that we can be that new creation. And Christ views us that way, so we have to view ourselves that way. And we have to wake up to the fact that maybe we are pulling that guy along. And it is time for us to let go of him. It's time for us to say no. And it's time for us to get rid of that old self, to be that new person, to be that different person. Because Christ died so that we could change. There's a song, Just As I Am. I can't remember all the lyrics, but just the name, Just As I Am. And I've been to lots of different congregations in my life, and some of them I've seen, if they've got signs, come as you are, and all that's great. Come as you are. Come, you don't have to be something special to come and assemble with the church with the church in Glendive. Come as you are, be who you are, but you better be ready to change, because Christ requires change. And it's maybe scary a little bit. And believe me, I was there once. It's a little scary. But Christ died so that we have the ability to do that, no matter what we've done in our lives. Christ died so that we, too, could walk in newness of life, so that we could be that changed person, so that we could be different. We first, after hearing the gospel, after becoming a Christian, then we have to make sure that we view ourselves as Christ has viewed us. We have to let go of that old person. But the devil's going to keep reminding you. The devil's going to remind you that, hey, you know what you used to do? You got to tell the devil that that's not who I am. You have to wake up in the morning and you have to make a decision to be somebody different. Because Christ died so that we could be somebody different. They hated him for being perfect. They hated him for living righteously. They hated him because he brought a threat to their way of life. If we're living how we should be, they're going to hate us too. But we have brothers and sisters around us in Glendive, in Montana, in the United States, and all across the world who are right there with us, fighting with us, fighting the same fights that we're fighting, fighting the same evil that we are fighting against. And we have Christ in heaven as our leader, as our king, living inside of us as well, helping us every single day to be that person that we can be, and reminding us that that is not who I am, but this is who I am. And I have let go of that old self, and I have said no to Satan. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Because Christ died for me, for you, and for everyone, so that we could be different. Now it's up to us to go tell people, to let them know what they can have in Christ. I am thankful Jesus is off the cross. I am thankful that he is out of the grave. And I am thankful that he is on his throne today, because he is our leader. He is our victorious king. And we have him living inside of us and helping us to be victorious daily. And we can do it with his help. and we can move forward, and we can win this battle, and we can win this war. And I promise you that even if we do lose some battles, in the end, God will win the war. No matter what. The ending has already been written. Now it's just the battles in between. God will win this war. Whose side are you going to be on? Are you going to win with God? Or are you going to go against him? It's a choice we all have to make. If Dane was here, I could say, choose wisely. It's a good movie quote. Let's go out this week. Let's live right. Let's let go of our old self. Make sure that he's crucified. Make sure that he's buried. Make sure that we have been different. Make sure that we are being different. And push forward, because Christ lived the way, died, conquered death, and gave us a chance to as well. So let's go do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing we have, Lord, to come together, to know that you are living inside of us, Lord, that you are living on your throne, that you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord, that you are the victorious leader that we have, Lord, that you are working in us and through us to further your cause, further your kingdom, Lord. I pray that we are examples to others, that we are unashamed, Lord, of what we believe, and that we are courageous and bold in our proclaiming of you, Lord. Lord, I pray that those who are in the Glendive area, who we have been fasting for, Lord, we pray that they are touched today in some way or another, that they might come to you, that they might see that there is hope in you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we are ready when the time comes for us to be used to help lead them to you. Lord, I pray that with that opportunity we will cease that chance and go for it, Lord, and be that shining light to the world of darkness, Lord. And we pray that through us they might see you. Lord, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your Son, and I pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.